Quick math, beauties. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything just costs more. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, access from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move, so do the math and see how you'll profit with NetSuite. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/Jillian. That's netsuite.com/Jillian. netsuite.com/Jillian.
When you need to refuel between meetings or running errands, or you just want a healthy snack that squashes your hunger, Wonderful Pistachios, which come in a variety of flavors and sizes, by the way, are the perfect choice to fill you up and keep you going throughout the day. Wonderful Pistachios is also a good source of protein and a zero guilt snack. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, guys, which gives you over 10% of your daily value. And with flavors like salt and pepper, sweet chili, and seasoned salt in the shelled variety, options like chili roasted, sea salt, and vinegar or jalapeno lime in the no shell variety, you're sure to please your taste buds while snacking healthy. So check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day.
Hey guys, I know we're all working so hard to stay fit and healthy at home. So check out my app. I have free daily 7-minute workouts. Download the app. It's Jillian Michaels Fitness app. Download it. Do the 7-minute workouts. You don't need any equipment. There's total body workouts, ab workouts, leg workouts. You get a new one every single day. And if you want more, obviously, there's a heck of a lot more in the app. There's over 1,000 different exercises. All of my DVD workouts are in the app. I can customize a workout for you in the app. There's freaking yoga, kickboxing, HIIT training, outdoor runs, bodyweight training, free weights. There are thousands of recipes, no matter what your diet preferences are. But at the very least, please do the 7-minute workouts for free. Hello, Schminder Dogs.
Hey there.
How are you, my friend?
I'm hanging in there this week. How are you?
Goodness. I'm hanging in there myself. So, team, we've got a good show for you today. We're going to be talking all about the powers of vitamin D and why it's relevant, and it is very, very relevant. So don't even think like, ooh, boring. It's not boring at all. And in fact, now they're starting to suggest that a vitamin D deficiency is connected to the severity of COVID cases. So we're gonna talk all about vitamin D, why it matters, and how to make sure that you are not deficient in vitamin D. And we're gonna be taking your questions on everything diet, fitness, nutrition. Normally, I don't tell you what's coming up on the show. And I am doing so because, of course, segment one is going to be totally unrelated once again. And I just feel like I've got to say something at a time where people are so terrified to speak. I am truly saddened by the racial tensions that are going on right now. And I will, you know, because we all know, I don't need to elaborate, right?
Right.
But it just it's very sad for me. And I think about the things that my daughter might hear and feel or be concerned about. And, you know, I'm confused about all of it. And there are days I feel like I'm attacked and I haven't done anything. There are days I feel like, you know, guilty that I didn't know enough. And that's just me, let alone what's going on out there, which seems insane. And so I want to address how to move forward. That is what I want.
Yes.
Because if anybody at home is feeling overwhelmed, and we've talked about this, but it just continues to kind of grow in its
in its kind of intensity and ferocity and prevalence in the news and in social media, which is dangerous, by the way, right? Because I think these things also lead us to make more generalizations about each other, which is the absolute worst thing that can possibly happen, are these generalizations about a group of people, be it Jew, gay, black, Asian, Latino. Like, these things are very dangerous generalizations, period, across the board, bad. Generalizations against conservatives, because I know conservatives feel the same way. So I want to talk about the scale of, I'll say racism, even though it could be against a religion, although Jews are technically a race, right? Or a sexual orientation.
So otherism?
I know we say otherism, but then
that sounds so gentle.
It sounds almost benign,
yes,
right?
Benign.
But it is otherism. It really is. That is the umbrella, and that is the darker evil, and that is at the root of all of this. But I think that, like, if you have a scale, and we all know I'm not an expert in this, but if you have a scale of otherism, which includes racism being top line, you've got people who are flat out racists, right? That are literally will tell you that their physical attributes of their race make them superior. That, like, white supremacy, right? That I am superior because of my race. That shit is, I don't actually think that is very prevalent. I think that is like saying, you know, all men are rapists. Like, they're not. You know what I'm saying? Like, those are people, by the way, though, that we will never reach, if that makes any sense. So we can go head to head with a David Duke or the KKK or people that beat gay men to death outside of bars, you know, but it's not, they're going to continue to be mentally ill, right? Then I think you have bias. And then I think you have ignorance. We all have bias. We all do. Yeah. And those of us that have bias, we are reachable. This is where the work needs to get done. And we've talked about the danger of not being able to have conversations when you're afraid that it's like, oh, God forbid I say something, then I it's like a Salem witch trial. Oh, you're a racist. You know what I mean? Like, you can't even have these dialogues anymore. But I'm going to ask you to be brave enough to do so. I'm not asking you to go on social, don't have these conversations on social media, but I want you to have them with each other. And I'm going to give you a perfect example by taking myself all the way out onto the skinny branch here. Here we go. I am pretty well aware of my bias. I am a heavily therapized individual, and I explore these parts of myself because I was never taught to have shame about them. I was always taught to explore them in order to get past them, right? So for me, I've always, as a gay person, had some bias about fundamental religions that I always felt, quote, hated gays and made it their agenda to rob gays of equal rights. So we'll put that one aside, right? I constantly, like, look at it, deal with my feelings about it, never act on your feelings. Here's step number one, all right? Number one, what are your biases? So listen, and if you're afraid to speak them outside, that's okay. As in to anybody else. But let's sit down and together, we're gonna talk about it. What are your biases? That was one of mine. What's my other one? There are certain aspects, and this is, I've never said this out loud. There are certain aspects of the Chinese culture that I don't like. I don't like the wet markets. And this is where they trade in, you know, wildlife. I don't like everything we hear about eating dog. And just let's get to the end of this before you get outraged. I have a lot of friends that have Chinese daughters, and I don't know if any of you know or remember when there was a one-child rule in China and women were less valued than men, so the girl children were very often thrown in dumpsters. One of my friend's daughter was left in a bag in the trash, and I really developed a lot of, it bothered me deeply. And I know there are many cultures that are horrendous with women. I get it. But it struck a very deep chord with me. And those biases sat with me personally. Now, I've always been aware of them. I never, ever act on them. That's step number two. The third step and the most important step is to then look at these things and explore them and put yourself in an environment with an individual. Because by the way, oftentimes with a bias, if you look at a bias, it isn't actually about a race, but we attach it to a race, if that makes sense.
Sure. It seeps into your subconscious.
Yes.
And it becomes this, yeah.
There's a quality that you don't like, and then you generalize it onto a group of individuals. Mm. So, for example, you might find gay sex gross, and that's okay. There are aspects of heterosexual sex. I'm like, ew, yuck, that I'm not interested in. But I don't go, ew, heterosexual people are gross. And it's okay for me to be like, that sexual act is bleh to me. But it doesn't mean I think the person is bleh, and that's the difference, right? This is what we have to be like, yeah, that kind of sex is not for me. And it's kind of ugh to me, but you don't hate the person. It's not about the person. You cannot like the thing and you don't incorporate it into your life. So fortunately, I have a friend who's Chinese, and her name is Ryulian. And of course, in the States, she goes by Nancy because she's afraid that people will be prejudiced against her just because of her name. So she's a pretty good friend. She's my age, and I was able a while back to sit down with her and say, look, I'm going to be dead honest with you. Like, I want to work through, like, this is something that's in me, and I don't like it, and can we talk about this? And I got to be honest, I've never been to China. I've been all over the world, and I've never been to China because people were like, oh, you're going to see baby turtles in keychains, and I was like, monster! You know what I, like, I was like, I can't do it. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
I'm not going to be able to go. Like, shark fin soup, I'm going to lose my... Even though I know... It's like, you're going to see this stuff all over the world. I get it. Trust me. I'll get there. I will get there. But I personally, for some reason, was like, I can't handle this. This goes against, like, this is just... Right? This is evil. This is bad. These things. And I... So I sit with my friend, and I was like, explain the wet markets to me. And... The wet markets are where wildlife is traded, and it could be bears in cages. It could be, and I'm gonna go there on you right now. It could be, you know, tiger penis for men's virility. It could be shark fin soup. So, and here I am being like, I'm so on my high horse, okay, with this issue. It's black and white, right? As in right, wrong, right?
Correct.
Yeah. And I was like, I want to understand it. And she goes, okay. She's like, first of all, just so you know, there have been many petitions by many Chinese people to shut down the wet markets. So don't think, right? You may not like something. She's like, don't think that this is a whole, you know, that's the generalization piece that I'm talking about. She goes, however, when I was your age, she goes, and I was told by my mother never to tell anyone this.
Maybe she was a child?
Yes. She's like, we used to eat rat because they were... starving.
Oof.
Starving in communist China in the 70s and the 80s. There were like 800 million Chinese, and they could not feed the people. The communist government couldn't feed the people. They were literally, the entire population was starving. And she's like, so while you were in your rich house in the San Fernando Valley, being driven to school in a Mercedes and, you know, eating whatever you want, whenever you wanted it, and had the luxury of being a chubby kid. I was lucky to be eating rat that night, right? Ugh. And she goes, she's like, our people were starving, and we had to find food anywhere we could find food, which begot the consumption of wildlife. Mm. And then, in order to make a living, they began farming wildlife. And it kind of, it that's what sort of, that's where the wet markets started. She's like, you know, we eat to live. You, as an American, you live to eat. Where are we going for every morning? DeShanna's like, what are we doing for dinner tonight?
Yeah.
I kid you not. I mean, she's right.
Me too.
Oh my God. I'm like, yummy. Let's do sushi. You know, and she's like, we eat to live. And if you've ever spoken to a Chinese person or been to an herbalist, oh my God. She's like, this part of the turtle is excellent for this part of your body. And this part of the X, Y, and Z animal contains X, Y, and Z for your liver. And this, I'm not kidding. And they believe that, well, tiger penis has, you know, the nutrients I need for proper circulation, and erectile dysfunction is a thing of the past. I mean, true or not true, arguably not true in this case, right? But that's the way they think about it. Mm-hmm. Now, no, she's like the majority of Chinese, that's been banned by the government, and then there's an illegal trade, which, by the way, I didn't know, right? She's like, this is not... You know, endangered animals are banned by the government, and then there gets an illegal trade. And she's like, you're telling me you don't have illegal trade in America? In other words, right, who do you think you are? You guys do all the same shit. Cut to. So it's like, and my point of that is, you can hate that, but you don't get to attach it to a group of people, right? Mm-hmm. So we continue with the conversation, and she's like, and I was like, but dog. And she's like, okay, but what makes you think... And a vegan would have the same conversation with me, and has, by the way. What makes you think that a dog is any more sentient of a being than a cow? Or a pig? Or insert animal here, yeah. Right? And she's like, we don't have factory farms where we deforest, you know, huge parts of the Amazon for cows. And we don't, you know, dump antibiotics and hormones into our foods that kill people, and we're not perpetuating genetically modified grains which are destroying the environment, and all the runoff is causing dead zones in the ocean. She's like, that to us is animalistic and awful. And she's right. I hate all those things. She's 100% right. And my point is that by the time we were done with this conversation, yeah, I don't like people. I don't like hunters that kill poach elephants. I don't like it. I don't like that behavior. I don't associate it to a group of people. And by the time we were done, I also understood so much.
Yeah.
And felt that I'd been confronted with so much. And felt so much better and continued the dialogue. And by the way, thank God, have... And I admit to only having, I only have one Chinese friend. I do. You know, it's like, oh, the Chinese friend. I do only have one. It's not for a lack of trying. It's just the individual that was, that happens to be in my circle because she's a healer. So that's, she's works in health and food and nutrition. That's how we ended up meeting. And physical therapy and all of that. She's a really incredible woman. But my point is, I also now have a very close friend who's Chinese. So it helps prevent any sort of generalization. And what I'm asking you to do right now, at a time where it's very easy to become polarized and retreat and deny and justify your position because you feel attacked by others and you get defensive. So then you know, I've seen a lot of people get defensive because they're feeling attacked and then turn around and go, well, you're bad for all these reasons, instead of like having a chance to look at ourselves, which is the only way forward. I want you to, number one, really stop and think about, what is it that I don't like? Okay, what is my bias? Okay, you know, number two, do not allow yourself to act on that bias. That is where we cross the line. Number three, I don't care if you don't like Jews, go to a synagogue. I don't care if you don't like gays, you go to a gay bar. I if one's open, you know, or somewhere. I mean, I don't know, like find gay people. We're out there. Like, I don't know, like if you're listening to the show, you probably don't hate gay people. But I mean, just an example. Like if you don't like, I don't know, if you hate illegals, have a conversation with one. Because there's so much misconception about that.
Generalizations, yeah.
Yes, you have these generalizations. They're criminals, they're this, they're that. That's not the truth. And by the way, like, you might say, well, fine, I don't hate them, but they shouldn't be coming here illegally. Well, guess what? There's no other way in. Have a conversation with somebody from El Salvador and find out how they grow up in a fucking war zone, or somebody from Venezuela who is literally has no choice but to present themselves here illegally for asylum because their children are being slaughtered in the streets. I just want you to have conversations and to put yourself in a position where you're willing to do that. Get to know what you are judging or you're afraid of. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it's you're saying to really take a look at what biases you have.
Yes.
And bring them to the forefront.
Yes.
And then open them up to a discussion in a safe space with
yes.
your circle. And then they lose their power and they lose their
yes,
their control on your subconscious to hate and to generalize.
That's it. That's what I'm saying. Woo. And if you don't have friends who are different than you, you need to go make them.
Different doesn't mean bad.
Yes, exactly. All right, everyone knows by now how much I love Skims underwear because I mentioned them a ton and I've been wearing them forever. I mean, I guess specifically a year and change. That's like forever in my life. If I can stick with something for longer than 30 days, it's forever. So this is big for me. And let me tell you, they are worth the hype, from the support they give to their amazing shape. And best of all, they're super comfortable. Whether it's the weightless scoop bra, the fits everybody plunge bra, the fits everybody t-shirt bra, I just get them in sand. You don't see them under anything at all. They're awesome. They're comfortable. I don't even realize I'm wearing them. They go with everything. So shop Skims bras at skims.com now. Available in 62 sizes from 38 to 46H. And if you haven't yet, be sure to let them know I sent you. So after you place your order, select podcast in the survey and select my show in the drop-down menu that follows. All right, back to the wheelhouse, Schminder doggy. Jesus, dude.
Pull it into the wheelhouse garage.
Heart just hurts these days, and it's not health related.
I know.
Okay, so vitamin D, hot topic right now. And believe it or not, years ago, my doctor actually came on the podcast and talked about this. She's an endocrinologist and an internist. An endocrinologist is a doctor that deals with hormones. And the reason she had brought up vitamin D is because vitamin D actually is a hormone, believe it or not.
Wow.
And she had gotten into years ago, right, all of the amazing things or all of the incredibly important roles slash jobs vitamin D plays in the body. And now with COVID, there's some question about, is there a link to the severity of a COVID case with vitamin D deficiency? Wow. Obviously, I'm not a doctor, but when you look at the statistics they're putting out, there was one study in Indonesia where they found that I think 98% of the cases that were severe had vitamin D deficiency. They were deficient in vitamin D. And there were only like 2% or whatever it is in Indonesia that had severe cases that were not. Now, here's where this gets really interesting. Who's going to be more prone to vitamin D deficiency? So 28% of Americans that we know of are deficient in vitamin D. I, by the way, am one of them. And there's a good reason for that, but I'll get to it in a second. Here's who's typically vitamin D deficient, and I'll explain why. But the first thing, maybe I should, hold on. There's two kinds of vitamin D. Let me address this. There's D2 and D3. Now, D2 can be found in some vegetables that are exposed to the sun, particularly mushrooms, which is kind of interesting, by the way, because remember when Dr. Lee came on and said, oh, in these mushrooms, right?
Yes.
Who knows? Because vitamin D2 is not as bioavailable, so it's not as effective in the body as D3. Now, D3 can be found in some foods, but in such small levels. So international units I use, right, we can find wild salmon has the most of like 444 international units in 3 ounces. But then from there, it starts to significantly drop off. So like 3 ounces of tuna is 229. Sardines are 165.
non-fat milk that has to be fortified with D, 116. Orange juice, I don't even want you drinking orange juice. Fortified with D, 100. An egg, a whole egg, 44. And some cheddar cheese, 1 ounce, is 7. We want to get at least 600 IUs a day. Now, the reality is, we really aren't getting this in food. So where our bodies are getting vitamin D from is UVB radiation, the sun. So we're making vitamin D in our skin when we're exposed to UVB radiation. It's then stored in the fat cells and then is released to circulate in the blood and converted into the hormone, which is now the hormone of vitamin D, okay? So again, I think I'll jump back to the deficiencies in a second because I want to talk about some of the amazing things we think that vitamin D does in the body. So we know that it plays a role in the regulation of 900 genes in our body. So remember, regulation is making sure these genes are expressing themselves the way we want. When you look at things like cancer, what is that? It's a genetic mutation, right? So making sure that the genes are expressing themselves the right way is crucial for your overall health and keeping yourself, you know, free from disease. It's just why they think that it could play a role or does play a role in helping to prevent certain cancers. Now, I have a whole list actually that I pulled up here. A recent study analyzed data from 576 postmenopausal women who are part of the National Institute of Health's Women's Health Initiative trial, women who took 400 international units of vitamin D plus 1,000 milligrams of calcium showed a significantly higher blood level of vitamin D after 2 years compared to a control group. And here's the good part, ready? They had better lipid profiles, showing an increase in their good cholesterol and a decrease in their bad cholesterol. And they kind of go on and explain why. So, all right, it's linked to heart health. Now, here's another one. So this one is another trial study that revealed supplementation with 1 gram a day of omega-3s and a dose of 2,000 international units of vitamin D helped prevent cardiovascular disease among middle-aged men and women after a 5-year follow-up. There's a breast cancer study. Of the participants, 57%, they're talking about another women's health initiative, took vitamin D, so on and so forth. To make a very long story short, the supplements were given at random, so CA is going to be calcium, plus D was proven to reduce the risk of total breast and invasive breast cancers by 14 to 20%. There's a link between arthritis and vitamin D, diabetes and vitamin D, asthma, eczema, allergies and vitamin D, mortality and vitamin D, autism and vitamin D, pregnancy and vitamin D. Basically, there are studies that show vitamin D helps prevent or lessen the severity of all these different symptoms, okay? So without boring you by reading every single one, I pulled up like lists of different studies. Now, okay. Why/who is becoming deficient in D? And now we're starting, as we've just said, COVID, a link to COVID potentially and D deficiency. I personally never go in the sun, ever, because I get melasma, which is hyperpigmentation on my face. So when I tell you I cover my skin, I mean I am covered. I cover, like, you will see videos, Deshanna takes videos of me out on a paddleboard. Dude, I have a face bikini on. I will go on the ocean and wear that on my face to stay out of the sun because I want to protect my skin. And my skin looks great for my age, if I do say so myself, on top of course, you know, healthy living and supplementation. But I just went to Dr. Van Hurley, and I think I even talked about it. I was D deficient. So she put me on this, like what she does every year when I get my blood drawn, she put me on a very high dose of vitamin D for 8 weeks. So, okay, who is going to be more prone though? Ready? This is super interesting. The obese, the elderly, and people of color. And here's why. And by the way, who, we know now like why that these populations are obese or people of color are more susceptible to diseases like heart disease, diabetes, cancer. But here's to add insult to injury, right? So a person of color, that's melanin's job, is to protect them against UVB radiation because their ancestors are growing up in like equatorial locations or places where there's a crazy amount of sun. Whereas conversely, a person who's extremely pale, right, who's like Nordic or something, they're extremely pale, so they can, there's less sun. Mm-hmm. So they can get more sun. Well, if you put a person of color in an environment where there's not extreme sun, they're inherently now not getting enough vitamin D. So that's why people of color are more at risk for vitamin D deficiencies, is because inherently that's what melanin does, is it protects them from UVB radiation. Now, obese people have a lower level of vitamin D, and here's, at least from what I could glean from my registered dietitian, Natalie Chevreau, who I only had a minute to speak to about this, unfortunately, so I could be getting this one wrong, but because vitamin D is stored in the fat, in fat cells, right? That there becomes less of it circulating in the blood if we have more fat cells. So I don't fully understand the mechanism of this. It seems to make sense based on that. And elderly, for some reason, vitamin D deficiency. So what do we do, right? Okay. Now, here's what we know is safe. I'm going to give you what I think you should do, but you should go to your doctor and get a vitamin D test. That's what you should do. Because they will tell you, you know, where you're at with your vitamin D levels, and then they will make a recommendation of what to supplement and how to supplement it, and so on and so forth, which is why I never recommend supplementing for a medical condition. So when you talk to me about supplementing, I'm like, well, I take, sort of this safety net worth of supplements of like, and they're all from organic whole food, so I can never get into trouble with toxic doses or trying to treat something and creating imbalances in my body. So I take super greens with antioxidants and adaptogens, and I take collagen. These are not things that can build up in the body and become toxic, which is why you don't turn around and go, oh, I'm perimenopausal, I think I'm gonna take supplements for that. Nope, we don't, that's not how it works. So I strongly recommend you go for your physical and you get a vitamin D, a blood test for vitamin D to see where you're at. Now, if you're like, yeah, right, Jill, I'm not spending that money, I don't have insurance, it's not a possibility, it's not a reality, okay, fine. So the problem with the sun is, you speak to an endocrinologist, they want you to get sun, you speak to a dermatologist, they never want you to get sun, right? So both are real. Arguably, 15 minutes of sun a day. It's like I try to expose different parts of my body, like my shins. Oh, sun damage on my shins is less concerning. So 15 minutes and off-peak hours should do it. But again, you wouldn't really know unless you got a test, a blood test. Another thing is, yes, you can supplement with vitamin D, and here's what we know is safe. 600 international units a day is safe. They have said that 1,000 to 2,000 can be safe, but it's getting up there. 4,000 can start to become toxic, but there's no way of knowing because you're trying to create a balance without knowing what the baseline is. Does that make any sense? So 600 is safe of D3. And the issue of where it can potentially become toxic, and I sure wish I had Dr. Chevreau on today, but she unfortunately is busy helping me with things, other projects. But vitamin D helps us to mobilize calcium, right? So that's one of the reasons it's linked to better bone density. Now, the problem is if it can become toxic in higher doses, can it mobilize too much calcium and all of this? So we know, again, 600 IUs. And then there are some doctors that will tell you to take it with vitamin K1 and K2. Because of how they work synergistically, and K can be a blood thinner, so it can help prevent against some of the more dangerous side effects in high doses. But my point of getting into all of this craziness where you're like, well, wait, what's the answer, is don't supplement more than 600 IUs of D3 a day unless you talk to your doctor, period. That's my point, is that your doctor might make a completely different recommendation based on what they know about where you are at. Like, I'm on a very high dose of vitamin D for 8 weeks. Mm-hmm. So I take one pill, it's a prescription, a week for 8 weeks. So that's because she's like, she knows where I'm at.
Right.
So safely, 15 minutes of off hour sun, wild caught salmon. That's going to be awesome. That's going to be high in it. And a supplement of D3, 600 IUs, you're perfectly safe. You start messing around beyond that, you're playing with fire, don't do it. And if you have the means, please, please get a vitamin D blood test.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Soup or salad? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From your online start to your first million orders, Shopify's there to help you grow. No matter what your product is, they can help you sell it everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, Shopify can help you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average than other leading commerce platforms. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/Jillian, all lowercase. Just go to shopify.com/Jillian now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/Jillian.
Okay, who's tired of fasting or cleanses that just leave you hungry and exhausted instead of rejuvenated and energized? Well, Prolon is the scientifically proven meal plan solution you've been waiting for. Prolon is a revolutionary plant-based nutrition program that nourishes the body while making the cells believe they're fasting. Researched and developed for decades at the University of Southern California Longevity Institute and backed by leading U.S. medical centers, Prolon helps promote healthy blood sugar, support cardiovascular health, and reduce abdominal fat. But Prolon isn't a diet. Prolon is science. Science based on Nobel Prize-winning discoveries in medicine. And this all starts with Prolon's five-day program, snacks, soups, and beverages, all designed to keep your body in a fasting state. It's unlike anything you've ever experienced. I did it for 5 days because I've had the absolute hardest time with straight fasts for even 24 hours, and it was a game changer for me. So right now, Prolon is offering Keeping It Real Conversations with Jillian Michaels listeners 10% off their 5-day nutrition program. Just go to prolonlife.com/Jillian. That's prolonlife.com/Jillian for this special offer. That's prolonlife.com/Jillian.
Quick math, beauties. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything just costs more. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, access from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move, so do the math and see how you'll profit with NetSuite. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/Jillian. That's netsuite.com/Jillian, netsuite.com/Jillian.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
I have some emails for you today, and the first one is from Cecilia. I'm finishing up with a coach to 5K, and she told me I should be running in the morning instead of the evenings like I've been doing. Mm-hmm. And I'm a night owl. I'd rather sleep in and get up instead of getting up early and run. Her response to my question was, it's better for my metabolism. Okay. Is that true?
No. No. So there's a lot of... I've seen a lot of trainers say that. If read any of the studies, no, it's not true. Here's what matters, right? These are the factors that matter. the intensity of your workout affects your metabolism. So when are you going to have the most effective workout? That's the question. Now, also, if we look at the... So we have to go individual, case by case. So now this person is telling me that she sleeps in. We know that one of the best things you can do for your metabolism is get 7 to 8 hours of sleep. So if that's being compromised by her getting up and running early, automatically that factor inhibits her metabolism. Now it's like, okay, Jill, well, what if she did 7 to 8 hours, slept 7 to 8 hours, and then worked out? The next part of the conversation is, when is her energy level the highest? Because the bottom line is, the harder she trains, the more calories she's going to burn during the workout, and those are the factors that create an elevated metabolic rate after the workout. So whenever you're able to train, whenever you have the most energy to train, that's what's going to elevate your metabolism. I call it afterburn. That's what I've always called it. So the body is trying to essentially return itself to what we call a, quote, pre-lactate state, which don't even... I hate when people talk in terms that I don't fully understand because I get sidetracked. Bottom line is, body wants to get back to, it wants to heal, repair, rebuild, recover, because exercise is stress. So the harder you train, the more elevated your metabolism is going to be. Some people like working out in the morning because they find that it gives them energy. Other people, like my girlfriend, she's like, oh my God, every time I work out, I just want to go to bed. It knocks her out. It literally, she's like, I'm shot for the rest of the day. If that's the case, she's going to be a person that works out better at night. And there are some arguments of, well, does testosterone spike more in the morning? highly, highly debatable. But then where that would be relevant is, when are your hormones going to be surging in a way that you would have more energy? And there have been other studies that show when we work out at the same time of day, we actually condition our body so it goes, oh, at 11 o'clock, I generally am going to need more X, Y, and Z because I'm required to engage in physical activity. So on the bottom line here is, no, your trainer's not correct. Sorry.
Marta had a bone density scan and... she said the results could have been better around her L1 to L3.
Okay, so lower spine, lower back.
She's trying to change her diet, but she needs exercises to support the muscles around her lower back.
Okay. Bone density in women is a big deal. This brings me back to change the diet. I mean, I hope you have a pro dealing with this. This is... A session with a registered dietitian. You know, you and I kind of touched on it with vitamin D, calcium, K1. Like, there are a lot of different things that go on there, and it's not something you want to mess around with. So that is my number one piece of advice. Now, why does exercise improve bone density? Because the act of working out is going to stress the bone, and it creates these tiny little fissures in the bone, because it's an injury, right? Same with muscles. And then the body has an inflammatory response and sends in bone cells and says, okay, we got to repair this. And that's what literally remodels your bone, makes your bone more bones more dense. Now, we know that heavy resistance training and impact training are going to be more effective at this. Here's the caveat. If you have a bone density issue and you jump into high intensity exercises, well, now you're going to be more prone to a stress fracture, right? Yeah. We can over-injure the bone. So again, this is where I have to say, in my perfect fantasy world, you would get a session with a physical therapist, because this is what these guys specialize in. So I am very lucky to work with registered dietitians and physical therapists. So I can give you the, you know, hey, this is the top line. These are the things you need to know. And I can say, like, this is what I know broadly about the conversation of like, oh, well, I know that your food and your supplementation needs to be dialed in, especially with these key vitamins, and you run the risk of X, Y, and Z. But someone, an expert who went to college in this, can explain to you exactly what you as an individual need to be doing based on where you are and what's going on. So if I was to turn around and go, well, running and weight training is great, but maybe your bone density is extremely poor, you could get injured by doing too much, too aggressively, too soon. So here's what is safe, right? I'm always going to give you the 600 IUs of vitamin D3. I know you're okay there, right? But is it going to be me giving you the absolute best advice? No, because I don't know exactly what's going on with you. And I'm also, yes, very fortunate to have been exposed to experts, but not the pro in corrective exercise, especially for your lower back. So, okay, you can engage in Superman exercises. We can engage in bridge exercises, pelvic tilt exercises, and plank exercises. Those are safe. That's the 600 IUs of vitamin D, if that makes sense. And it will help strengthen the core over time. Now, if I was back in the days of working at my sports medicine facility where I worked under the supervision of physical therapists, they would arguably say to me, Jill, here's what you're dealing with this patient. They have the following issues. You're going to start them, right, doing bridge and X amount of sets, X amount of reps. They're going to do Superman, X amount of sets, X amount of reps. And I would have a chart and a program that I would follow. And then after 2 weeks, the physical therapist might say to me, okay, now they're going to be ready to do a bit of resistance training, or we might start them out with a light jog, working these intervals where they can progress you safely. So what I've told you is safe. What I would love is for you to do a session with an RD and a session with a PT to make sure that you're doing the right thing based on where you're currently at. And as I've said, the exercises I mentioned are a safe place to start if you don't have access to an expert opinion.
I think that is good for today. Right. We have some app questions, but I am going to suggest people redirect those to the app forum if they're not aware that that exists. But that would be a good thing. And if you have email questions, it's jillianpodcast@gmail.com.
Perfect. All right, guys, we want you to subscribe to the podcast so you can stay up to date with our life-changing and life-saving information. So on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you're listening, click that subscribe button.